Well, praise the Lord. Isn't the Lord good? Hey, it's an honor and a privilege to be back at the Calvary Baptist Church in North Wilkesboro. And we've enjoyed the music tonight, the choir, the Calvary choir, and then the other Calvary choir. I appreciate our folks driving up tonight and being a part of the service this evening. And then these sitting behind me tonight. Amen. I appreciate them being willing to do that. We're glad you're here tonight. And it's just good to be saved. Amen. Amen. And I sure appreciate the young ladies singing tonight. We are glad to be here tonight, honored to be here. We love your pastor and his dear wife. And as Pastor Mark said just a while ago, we count them dear, dear friends. And we just love them. We pray for them often. They're often on our prayer list. And we lift them up. We pray for you. And so we thank God for them and their friendship and their impact in our life. And then we're so glad to have the Cardwells tonight. I didn't know they were coming this evening, and we love Brother Brian and Miss April. And we, you know, here again, I was thinking, while the services were going on, I'm blessed. I have two of my favorite families in the ministry are here tonight. And I'm not just saying that either. I mean, that's the absolute truth. God knows my heart tonight. And we love these folk. And one of my favorite places to preach is Calvary in North Wilkesboro. We were talking, I had to take my dad to the doctor this morning. And he was asking us about preaching up here tonight. And I was telling my mom, I said, yeah, it's a strong church, Mom, very strong church. And good folks up there at Calvary. And we love being up there. And it's always a high point for us. You know, what do you preach? I asked your pastor this morning, I said, what did Brother Jeremy leave for me to preach? And I'm sure he preached the paint off the walls last night. He always does. And we're going to have him over to our place, and we look forward to having your preacher over to our place. And anyway, we're delighted to be in the Lord's house tonight. Thank you for coming. I want you to take your Bibles tonight, if you will, and turn over to the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 9. 2 Chronicles chapter 9, and I want to try to follow the Lord tonight, if I could. I don't think I've ever preached this message here at Calvary, and we're just going to trust the Lord that this is the Lord's will tonight. And so 2 Chronicles chapter 9, again, we're delighted to be here, honored to be here tonight. And it's our prayer that we could just lift up the name of the Lord this evening. He's worthy of all praise and glory. We serve a great God tonight. And I was thinking as the choir sang tonight, He's an immutable God. He never changes. He's always the same. I'm glad every day that we wake up. You know what? He's always the same. He's never in a mood. He doesn't have a mood. He's constant. He's a constant God. And there is but one in this room tonight that deserves praise and glory. And that's the wonderful God that we're going to preach about tonight. I want you to look in your Bibles, if you will, 2 Chronicles chapter 9. And when you find your places, if you're able to stand, if you'll stand with us tonight out of respect for the reading of God's Word, 2 Chronicles chapter 9. And look, if you will, please, tonight at verse number 1. And the Bible says, "And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, she came to prove Solomon with hard questions at Jerusalem, with a very great company and camels that bear spices and gold in abundance, and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. And there was nothing hid from Solomon, which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, his cupbearers also in their apparel, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, it was a true report which I heard in mine own land of thine acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not their words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the one half of the greatness of thy wisdom was not told me." Notice this phrase, "For thou exceedest the fame that I heard." For thou exceedest the fame that I heard. I'm going to take my phone out here so I can monitor the clock tonight. I know it's 7:30. The meeting started at 7:30. I know you got to work tomorrow. You got to go to school tomorrow. And so I'll try my best to keep an eye on the clock tonight, and I'll keep you very long this evening. I want to talk to you just a few minutes tonight about this subject, exceeding Christians. Exceeding Christians. Lord, what can I do? What can I preach tonight that would be an encouragement to this pastor? We don't want to do anything that would take away from the ministry here. You know what? Whenever God gives us the opportunity to go and to minister as an evangelist or in evangelism, we always want to glorify the Lord, number one. It's always what we want to do, glorify the Lord. Number two, though, we want to try to be an encouragement to the pastor and his wife. And I definitely want to do that tonight. And then we want to try to help the church. And so what could I say? What could I preach tonight that would maybe help this church to glorify the Lord more, that would help this church to go to that next level? And so tonight I'm talking to workers. Tonight I'm talking to Sunday school teachers. Tonight I'm preaching to deacons.
Come on, brother.
Tonight I'm preaching to officers. Tonight I'm preaching to choir members, bus workers, van workers, jail ministry workers, nursing home workers.
Come on, brother.
And so what is there something that maybe we could share with the church tonight that might help them to serve the Lord just a little bit better? And so I want to talk to you about that subject tonight, about that subject, exceeding Christians. You may be seated tonight. I'm going to pray. And we're going to jump right into the message tonight. You pray for the preacher tonight as he preaches. I've been to this church several times, preach here. Every time I come, I'm nervous every single time. I'm nervous every time I preach at Calvary. And so you pray for us that God will just take care of that, take care of the nervousness, because we want to try our best to try to honor him tonight. And so let's go to the Lord and pray. And as I pray, I want you to pray. And then we'll preach just for a few moments tonight. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be back at Calvary Baptist Church tonight. Thank you for Pastor Mark and Miss Cindy. And Lord, the great ministry that you continue to build here at the Calvary Baptist Church in North Wilkesboro, North Carolina. And God, you know our heart tonight. We want to honor the Lord. We want to glorify you. And then, Lord, we want to encourage this dear man of God and his family. And though, Lord, we sure want to be a blessing to this church, Heavenly Father, please now, I pray that you'd clear the way. I pray that you'd accomplish your will. Father, the best that we know how tonight, we want to plead the blood of Jesus over the service. And God, I pray that you would, Lord, I pray that you'd bind the powers of darkness in the name of Jesus. And God, I pray that you'd keep them out. And Lord, I pray that you'd keep your blessings within. And I pray, God, that there would be a wonderful spirit of liberty tonight. Lord, I pray you take care of the nervousness. Lord, we want to depend on your power tonight, not the arm of flesh. It'll fail us every time. And God, we're thankful for the impact that Pastor Jeremy had last night. But Lord, I'm not Pastor Jeremy. Lord, I'm Pastor Steve. And so I don't know what, Lord, I can give these folks tonight that would be a help, but I pray, Lord, that I would be yielded to the Holy Spirit. And I pray somehow, Lord, that you would flow, that you would fill me and that you would flow through me. And God, I pray that you'd speak to the hearts of these dear people. We pray for your touch and your blessings and your power and your anointing. And God, I pray there'd be an unction in the service tonight. We love you and praise you. You're so wonderful to us. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, and all God's people said, amen. I'm interested in verse number 6 tonight. And the Bible says the Queen of Sheba here was meeting with Solomon, and she said in verse number 6, howbeit, I believe not their words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the one half of the greatness of thy wisdom was not told me, for thou exceedest the fame that I heard. I'm interested in that little word there in verse number 6, the word exceedest. For thou exceedest the fame that I heard. That word exceedest there in the Hebrew means further. It means to increase. It means longer or much. But I love this. It also means more and more. In fact, it's the idea of more and more and more and more and more and more. In other words, the Queen of Sheba said to King Solomon, "You're more than I thought. You've achieved more than was imaginable. You've traveled further than was ever expected." I want to say tonight at Calvary Baptist Church, I love people who seek to excel and accomplish more with their lives. I'm talking about people who refuse to settle for mediocrity. I'm talking about church members who refuse to settle for normal. I'm talking about normal employees. I'm talking about normal preachers. I'm talking about normal pastors and normal deacons and normal students and normal achievers. And I want to just say tonight, God, deliver me from those Christians who claim to be just living in survival mode. We talk to people all the time and we'll say, "How you doing?" And that's a loaded question. And those folks just say, "Well, preacher, we're making it. We're barely getting by. I mean, we're just waiting for the trumpet to sound. We're just enduring to the end." And I'm going to be honest with you, Calvary. I really don't believe a spirit-filled child of God is to follow that example. Listen, if you're here tonight and you've been washed in the blood of Christ and you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you know that you're saved and born again, I believe tonight that you and I ought to be exceeding. I believe that we ought to excel. I believe that we ought to be accomplishing more and more and more in the power of Jesus Christ. Maybe I don't look at it like everybody, but I'm just of the mindset that, you know what, if you're a born-again child of God, that everything about you ought to be better. I believe our marriages ought to be better. I believe that our homes ought to be better. Oh, I don't mean that we're better than somebody else. I'm just saying that we should not be satisfied and complacent with accepting the world's view of a home or marriage. I believe that our attitudes ought to be better. I believe that our speech ought to be better. I believe that our children ought to be better behaved than the world. Listen, exceeding Christians that excel in everything that they do. I'm talking about people like Caleb in the Word of God.
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking about a man who 45 years earlier was promised by Moses a mountain. And when he's 85 years old, he's planning on conquering that same mountain. I'm talking about men like David. Men who, although he was young, had a desire to defend the name of God and willing to fight the giant Goliath. I'm talking about men like Elisha. We don't hear much about loyalty anymore. But I'm talking about a younger prophet who was tremendously loyal and literally refused to leave the side of the elder prophet Elijah. I'm talking about men like Daniel. We know that Daniel was an exceeding Christian. The Bible tells us in Daniel chapter 1 and verse number 20, "And in all matters of wisdom and understanding, the king inquired of them. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm." I'm talking about Christians that are not satisfied with the norm, not satisfied with the average, not satisfied with the natural, not satisfied, but they want to go on and go to that next stage, and they want to exceed in their Christian life. I'm talking about men like the missionary David Livingston, who exceeded as a missionary. It was said that David Livingston walked over 29,000 miles in his journeys. He was a driven man. In fact, they said that once a younger missionary wrote to David Livingston, and he said, "Mr. Livingston, I'd like to come to where you are." He said, "Can you please write back and tell me an easy way to get to where you are. And they said that David Livingston, that great missionary, wrote back and said, young man, I'm not looking for a man that's looking for an easy way. I'm looking for a young man that if he needs to, will make his own way to find out where I am. I'm talking about men like Thomas Edison, the great scientist and inventor. It was said that he made 10,000 attempts to create the light bulb. And they said once that a reporter came and he interviewed Mr. Edison and he said, Mr. Edison, I'm sorry that you failed 10,000 times. And Edison looked back at that reporter and said, excuse me, failed? Failed? I've never failed. Not one time. He said, I have discovered 10,000 things that won't work, but I've never failed. Can I tell you tonight, I'm talking about exceeding. I'm talking about going to the next level. I'm talking about not being satisfied. I may just be preaching to a small little community of people tonight. In fact, I probably am. But I wonder tonight if there's somebody sitting in this crowd who maybe a teenager, maybe a young man, maybe a young preacher, maybe somebody, maybe a Sunday school teacher who tonight would rise out of that mediocrity and say, I don't know what everybody else is going to do. I don't know what kind of ministry everybody else is going to have. I don't know how everybody else is going to preach, but by the grace of God, I will not be normal. Can I tell you who I love? I love the bumblebee. I love the bumblebee. You say, preacher, you're weird. I know. I know that. But I love the bumblebee. And I'll tell you why I love the bumblebee. Because scientists tell us that the bumblebee cannot fly. His body is way too big and his wings are way too small. And that scientifically there is no way that the bumblebee can fly. But somebody forgot to tell the bumblebee. Amen. And thank God, you know what? When summertime comes, we'll see that bumblebee going all through the air. Hey, thank God. You know what? Somebody comes to you and tells you, you can't do it. You can't be a Sunday school teacher. You can't be a bus worker. You can't be a preacher. You can't sing in the choir. You can't have a good marriage. You can't raise godly kids in 2020. I'm just telling you, you tell them just to go back where they came from. I'm talking about Christians that have a desire to exceed in everything they do. Exceeding Christians. Exceeding Christians. Can I tonight just give you several areas of where you and I believe, ought to be exceeding? How about this? Number one, we should exceed, first of all, in gladness. In gladness. My Bible says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 12, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. My Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 4, great is my boldness of speech towards you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort and I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. Amen. My Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 13, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Psalm chapter 68, verse number 3. The Bible says, but let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. I love to go in my Bible to the book of Philippians. If you go to the book of Philippians, of course, we know that God used the Apostle Paul to write the book of Philippians. What a lot of people don't know is that when the Apostle Paul penned those words under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul was not in the Waldorf Astoria.
Right. Right.
Paul was in a Philippian jail,
right.
A Mamertine prison. Paul had been beaten, abused, mistreated, maligned. He'd been accused of things falsely. He had been abused. And yet you read that short little book to the Philippians there, and you'll find out that 14 times... Paul mentions joy, 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 joy. He mentions rejoice, 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 rejoice. You say, what's your point? My point is, thank God, I believe that Paul said, I'm going to be an exceeding Christian when it comes to gladness and when it comes to joy. One of the things we've been teaching in our Sunday school class lately at Calvary is that our emotions follow our actions. In other words, sometimes it's important to perform the action without the motion. Somebody says, well, I don't feel like doing it. Do it anyway. Somebody says, Pastor, I don't feel like coming to church. Come anyway. Somebody says, Pastor, I don't feel like singing. Sing anyway. You see, your emotions follow your actions. And listen, if you'll perform the action without the emotion, a lot of times the emotions will often follow the actions. And I said that for a reason. Did you know tonight that researchers are telling us that a smile is not always the result of happiness, but rather happiness can come from a smile. In other words, your emotions follow your actions. So if you're having you're having a rough day. I mean, it's been rough, been off to a rough start, and you're just not feeling good, and you just wake up sort of grumpy and sort of grouchy, and you know what? You know what they're telling us y'all to do? Y'all to smile. Well, you say, preacher, I don't feel like smiling. Well, do it anyway, amen. And just smile. Did you know it takes many more muscles to make a bad face than it does a smiling face? And when you smile, it's amazing how your emotions begin to follow your actions. And that, now this is all I'm saying. You know what, Calvary Baptist Church? We ought to make sure that by the grace of God, we're going to be exceeding glad in everything we do. Listen, did you know if anybody ought to be happy, if anybody ought to be smiling, it ought to be God's people. We ought to be the happiest people. We ought to be the most joyous people. I'm telling you, we ought to have a song on our lips. We ought to have a praise in our mouth. I'm telling you what, if anybody ought to be joyful, if anybody ought to be happy, we who, you know what, as she said just a moment ago, he daily loadeth us with benefits. Listen, you and I ought to be exceeding joyful and glad in all that we do. And how many know this, that many times gladness is a choice? It's possible to be glad when things are bad. It's possible to be glad when things are sad. Now I'm going to get off this point. But Calvary, let me help us. Let me help us tonight. It's no wonder the world doesn't want what the church has to offer. I mean, we've got major denominations right now that are having World War III over things that ought not even be argued about. Things that are already specified in the Word of God. And I told our folks last night, if it's in the book, you don't have to pray about it. It's in the book. We know it. And yet we've got denominations that are fighting and fuming and criticizing and slandering one another, and churches all over America. Yesterday, visitors walked in seeking God, and not one person shook their hand, and not one person reached out to them, and not one person spoke to them. And you know what? Walk in churches and the choir half sings and the preacher half preaches, and there's no joy and there's no happiness and there's no gladness. There's no wonder the world doesn't want what we have. I'm telling you, when they walk in here, they ought to say, man, I don't know what they've got, but whatever they've got, I want it. I'm not talking about regular.
Come on, brother.
People say, well, this way we've always done it. I'm not talking about that. I can't help the way you've always done it. Maybe it's time to change the way we've always done it. And we need to show this world, you know what, man, that as children of God, we exceed in gladness. Man, we're saved. Good to be saved. We ought to be exceeding in gladness. But I wrote this down. Number two, we should exceed in God's Word. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 167, My soul hath kept thy testimonies. And then he said this, I love them exceedingly. We ought to be exceeding in the Word of God.
Amen.
It's a shame, isn't it? Folks don't know the Bible. I probably told this story before, but it's funny. I love telling. And so there was a pastor, and he was a little concerned that his teachers weren't teaching the Bible. He was concerned that his folks weren't getting the Word. And so one day, without notice, he bolted into one of the boys' Sunday school classes, and without any kind of a warning, he looked at the little boys and he said, boys, who broke down the walls of Jericho? Well, there was dead silence. He said, boys, who knocked down the walls of Jericho? I want to know. Well, there's nobody said a word. And so finally the preacher singled one of the little boys out and he said, Jimmy, who knocked down the walls of Jericho? And little Jimmy got a quiver in his lip. He said, preacher, I promise it weren't me. I promise it weren't. And the preacher was he was so upset. I mean, his blood pressure was rising. His face was getting red, and it is exactly what he thought. And he looked over at the Sunday school teacher and he said, and what do you have to say about that? And the teacher looked back at the pastor and he said, well, preacher, he said, I'm just telling you, Jimmy's a good boy. And if he said it didn't knock him down, I believe him. Amen. Preacher turned around, stormed out. He called a deacon's meeting that night, had the deacons come in, and man, he just ranted and raved, and I mean, was so upset, and he told them that story, and he said, I asked who knocked down the walls of Jericho, and this was the answer I got, and he just went on and on and on. The deacon said, preacher. They said, calm down. They said, listen, we've got a little bit of money in the general fund, and you know what? Whatever damage has been done, we'll rebuild the wall. Well, it's a shame, isn't it? People are ignorant of the Word of God. Did you know tonight, if you're going to get something out of the Bible, you got to put something into the Bible? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Psalm chapter 1, verse number 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Somebody says, preacher, I don't feel like reading my Bible. Read it anyway.
Amen.
Preacher, I'm so busy. If you're too busy to read the Bible, you're too busy.
Amen.
It may be that you need to take an axe to your schedule and take some things out of your schedule so you can work the Word of God into your schedule. Someone said it like this, know it in your mind. Stow it in your heart. Show it in your life and sow it in the world. John Newton said, read the scripture not as an attorney may read a will, merely to know the sense, but as the heir reads it as a description and proof of his interest. F.B. Meyer, I love this. F.B. Meyer said, read the Bible not as a newspaper, but as a letter from home.
Amen.
And man, how true that is. Hey, Christian, can I tell you something? This is God's love letter to me and you. Remember when you were teenagers and you were head over heels in love with that person that maybe you even eventually married? Remember when your girlfriend used to write you those love letters and she even laced them with some perfume, or your boyfriend would write those letters? And remember, don't look at me so spiritual out there. Remember? I can remember, I got a little redhead up here tonight. I can remember sitting in math class. Kids, don't you dare do this, all right? I can remember sitting in math class, Pastor Mark, with my math book like this, and that love letter opened up in that math book. And you know what? The whole time that teacher was teaching, I was reading that love letter. And Miss Tammy, boy, she was telling me how much she loved me and how handsome I was. And you know what, man? I didn't know what the teacher was teaching, but I love that love letter. Hey, Calvary, I want to tell you something. This is God's wonderful love letter to you and to me. We ought to be exceeding in the Word of God. Someone said, though the cover is worn and the pages are torn, and though places bear traces of tears, yet more precious than gold is the book worn and old that can shatter and scatter my fears. When I prayerfully look in the precious old book, as my eyes scan the pages, I see many tokens of love from the Father above, who is nearest and dearest to me. This old book is my guide. 'Tis a friend by my side. It will lighten and brighten my way, and each promise I find soothes and gladdens my mind as I read it and heed it today. And one of my absolute favorites, Alicia Mortensen, wrote those words, "If I should live 1,000 years and search it every day, the precious word of God would still shed light upon my way. Should every other earthly thing be severed from my grasp, I pray that I may ever hold my Bible till the last. And someday when He calls me home and I at last can look upon His face, I want to kneel and thank Him for His book." This is all. This is a simple message tonight. Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great if tonight out of this crowd, somebody stepped away and said, "I don't know what everybody else is going to do, but I want to exceed. I want to exceed in gladness. I want to exceed in God's word." How about this? We should exceed in giving ourselves to prayer. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 10, "Night and day, praying exceedingly, amen, that we might see your face." Acts chapter 6, verse number 4, "But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." I found this little statement sometime back, and I've been sharing it with our church. C.S. Lewis said this. Please listen to these words. He said, "The moment you wake up each morning, all your wishes and hopes for the day rush at you like wild animals. And the first job each morning consists in shoving it all back, in listening to that other voice, taking that other point of view, letting that other, larger, stronger, quieter life come flowing in." John Bunyan, who wrote the famous Pilgrim's Progress, said this: "He who runs from God in the morning will scarcely find Him the rest of the day." I'm just saying this, you know, all that God would give us some folks that tonight would say, "Preacher, I've not been praying like I should. I've sort of let my prayer closet, I've sort of let my prayer closet go to the side. I've been trying to read my Bible, but I haven't been spending much time in prayer." You know, would to God that tonight God would spur something in somebody's heart, and tonight a fire would begin to burn, and tonight in just a little bit, maybe you'd find your way to an old-fashioned altar and you'd say, "God, I got to get my prayer life back. I want to excel. I want to exceed in my prayer life." Let me close. We ought to exceed in gladness. We ought to exceed in God's word. We ought to exceed in giving ourselves a prayer, and I'm done tonight. We should exceed in growing in faith. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 3 says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly." Your faith groweth exceedingly. That word faith means belief, but it means belief coupled with strong conviction that ends up with faithfulness. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 2, more of it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Did you know the longer we're saved, the more faithful we ought to become? Until we are exceeding in faithfulness. Now we're getting ready to have closing prayer. I just want to ask a question tonight. Lord, what can I preach to this congregation tonight that might help them a little bit, help this pastor a little bit? I want to ask you a question. Are you exceeding faithful? Well, you say, preacher, no. I show up every now and then. Well, I'm glad you're here tonight. But according to the Word of God, we ought to be exceeding in faith. It's been, I don't know, it's been a little while ago now. All of our church that's here tonight knows Sister Kathy. She's at home tonight recovering from surgery. And Sister Kathy's been a blessing in our church. She had a husband named Melvin. She called him her Boaz. Well, Melvin started having some problems and they went to the doctor. And long story short, they found out that Melvin had cancer. He had it bad. He began the chemotherapy and the radiation and all those kind of things. And over the next year or so, they began to go through all that process, the doctor visits, the hospital visits. There were several visits in the hospital where he had to stay. And there were times when he was sick. And those in our adult Sunday school class remember Sister Kathy. She usually sits on this side all the way toward the back. But just one of the sweetest spirits you'd ever want to meet. And Sister Kathy, every Sunday morning, she'd say, I'd say, somebody have a prayer request. Sister Kathy, raise her hand. She'd say, preacher, pray for my Boaz. Pray for my Boaz. I said, yes, ma'am, Kathy, we're going to pray. We're going to pray. It went that way for months and months and months, and he was going through all the treatments and all those kind of things. And then, just as life is sometimes, it seemed like the treatments weren't working. And Melvin was getting weaker and weaker and weaker, and finally, just in God's sovereignty. We don't understand God's sovereignty sometimes. His ways are not our ways. But God took Kathy's Boaz. We watched the next few weeks and she just hung right in there. Never missed a lick. Stayed faithful to church. Never got an indifferent spirit. Wasn't bitter to the Lord. In fact, there were times in the service when she would just raise her hand and she'd say, preacher, can I just say something for the Lord? And she'd brag on God. In fact, I remember the day when I preached Melvin's funeral and many of Kathy's family was lost. Now I remember that day in that cemetery as Sister Kathy stood in front of that lost family and she began to sing those words, shadows all around us. Darkness has come to hide our way. And then she sung this, don't despair. Soon night is ending. The clearest sky will greet the day. There's a brighter day a-coming. Soon our heartaches will be gone. Sorrow won't be a memory in the light of heaven's dawn. This is all I'm saying, my church. Did you know what? The longer we're saved, the more we ought to be growing. Until we're exceeding. You say, well, preacher, I know some Christians. I'm not talking about some Christians. I'm not talking about other churches. I don't care. Listen, I don't care what all the other churches do in Union Grove, North Carolina. I'm just telling you, I want the people at Calvary Baptist Church and the pastor at Calvary Baptist Church to exceed in their Christian life. Listen, I don't know what everybody else is going to do, but I know one thing. I've got a Savior that's worth serving and a God that's worth loving and praising. And by the grace of God, while I have time and while I have breath in my lungs, I want to serve Him to the best of my ability. And I want to do my very best for Him and for His glory. Are you exceeding? Are you exceeding tonight? We have Phil here tonight. He's here tonight. I debated about even telling this story because he's in this congregation. I hope you don't mind. Brother Stacy's here somewhere. Several years ago, Stacy and his wife, then Tanya, reached out to my wife and I, and they wanted to meet with us. And so we met with them at a restaurant and began to talk to them. They had both been saved, but were not in the will of God. But their desire was, preacher, we want to get back where we need to be. We want to get back in God's will. We want to serve Christ. And that night we rejoiced with them and we fellowshipped with them. And I believe we prayed with them that night. And sure enough, they did. They got in church, got faithful, exceeding faithful. Well, several years passed. And Miss Tanya started having some issues, some breathing issues. They thought she had pneumonia. They thought she had some different complications. Long story short. Miss Tanya had lung cancer. I remember they began to go through all the process and the hospitalization and all those kind of things. And we're not sure why, but God knows. And God took Tanya to heaven. I remember that Sunday afternoon when we got the call. Right after the service ended, my wife and I, we left the building and we drove down to Ida Memorial Hospital. By the time we got there, the hallway was already full of people. We prayed with the family. And sure enough, God took her home. We did our best to comfort them and console them. A little bit later on, my wife and I left and we went on to Sunday night church. And as we were just getting ready to start, service was just getting ready to start, Brother Stacy walked in. I'll never forget walking up to Stacy in the hallway. And I said, Stacy, what in the world are you doing here? He said, preacher, it's Sunday night. You're supposed to go to church. That's what I'm talking about. Amen. Exceeding. Now the world says, that's not normal. Hallelujah. That's our problem, folks. We got too many normal churches, too many normal preachers, too many normal deacons, too many normal Sunday school teachers, too many normal people that just walk into church and just go through the motions, wah, 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 wah. And no wonder our churches are powerless and folks aren't getting saved. I just wonder tonight. Maybe just one Sunday school teacher. Maybe just one godly deacon. Tonight who would rise above the mediocrity and say, that's it. That's it. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of just being normal. I'm sick of just being a normal deacon. I'm sick of just being a normal Sunday school teacher through the motions every Sunday. Never change lives. I'm sick of just being a normal giver. I'm sick of just being a normal choir member. I want to exceed. Exceed. God give us tonight some exceeding Christians. You've listened great tonight. Thank you so much, Father. Thank you for this time we've had together this evening. God, I've done what I believe you told me to do. And now, Lord, I pray that you'll have your way in the invitation. God, tonight, I don't know that there'll be a large invitation or a large response. I'm not sure if I'm expecting that. But I know this, if one Christian makes their way to this altar tonight and falls in this altar and says, Lord, I'm sick of being normal. Oh God, could you use me to be an exceeding Christian? God, could you do something supernatural in my Sunday school class? Lord, is there any way you could use me in preaching? God, you could you do something exceeding in missions with me? God, tonight, forgive me for being normal. And tonight, Lord, I pray you'll take us to that next level. I pray, Father, that you'll give Pastor Mark wisdom now. I pray you'll have your way in the invitation. And we sure thank you in Jesus' name. And our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Why don't we stand tonight, if you will? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to let Pastor come. This is his church, his invitation. Preacher, you come tonight. Thank you for letting us.